so we are talking today from the subject, the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God. There are times in life when we will face challenges and opposition from the enemy. How many know that? But in these tough moments, the enemy will try to get us to lose our focus and get frustrated. And the way we override his tactics is to remind yourself of God's faithfulness, all right? And so how many in the room can agree and testify that God has been faithful? Has he ever opened the door? Has he ever made a way? Has he ever healed your body? Has he ever looked out for you? Yeah, and so we can look back over our lives and testify that we serve a faithful God. So we can look back and say, God has been faithful. Now, how many in the room will also agree that God is faithful? In other words, how many can see him at work in your life now? Like, God is doing things in my life now. I realize I would not be where I am right now if it wasn't for him. I wouldn't have the right mind frame if it wasn't for him. And so I thank God that he has been faithful, but I thank God that he is faithful now. And I'm telling you that based off the fact that God has been faithful and that God is faithful, I submit to you that God will always be faithful. That based off his track record of how he has been gives me and you, or you and I, faith for the future. That no matter what arises in our lives, he will be right there to help us. That no matter what comes up, we serve a God that's never going to leave us, that's never going to forsake us, and he is going to be with us until the end. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, I wanted to read it in the Message. Actually, not a translation, it's really a paraphrase. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. I want you to pay real close attention to these next words. He says, all you need to remember, all you need to do what is? So that is so important, because when you get in challenging moments, in frustrating moments, in tough times, the first thing the enemy wants to do is distract you. He doesn't want you thinking clearly and thinking straight. But the writer says, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. That no matter what comes, no matter what goes, he's never going to let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And so today my objective is to inspire gratitude and unshakable trust in God by reminding us that his faithfulness never fails. Everybody repeat after me. Say, his faithfulness never fails. So he is present, he is dependable, and he's always working out things for our good. Can I get up? Lamentations, the 3rd chapter and the 22nd verse says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Praise the Lord. Because his compassions do what? Fail not. What does fail not mean? Fail not, right? They are renewed, not some morning, but every morning. And the writer says, great is thy faithfulness. And that's all my introduction, and my whole goal today is to get you to inspire gratitude and unshakable trust in your life by reminding you of the faithfulness of God. And so how many points do I have today, class? You already know I've got 3 simple points today that are going to help push this point of reminding us of the faithfulness of God. And it's my desire that as we go through this lesson, as we talk about the faithfulness of God, even if you're going through a tough situation, or even if you're not sure how this is going to work out, that this lesson will cause faith to come in your life to remind you that God can do anything but fail. Amen? And so we're going to jump right into this lesson, and we're going to get a lot out of this today. So everybody say, Point number one, God's faithfulness is proven through his promises. God's faithfulness is proven through his promises. Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse. I love this scripture. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. How many know that's right? Neither the son of man that he should repent. The writer, he asked a question. You got it? He says, hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? How many know that God's word is not sometimes good, but it's all the time good? How many know that you can always count on God and his word? That all kind of things pass away, but God's word never passes away. All kind of things change, but God's word never changes. That is why I teach you to always stand on the word of God, that even if things are shaky around you, God's word is never shaky. God's word is always solid, amen? And so God's faithfulness is proven through his promises. At the end of the day, the bottom line is God has never broken a promise. God has never, ever broken a promise. Even when we begin to look through scripture, and there's so many things that we can look through, but we can even look at Abraham, and we can look at Sarah, and when they were, you know, in their old age, God promised them, you know, he was going to bless them, and he was going to, you know, cause their seed to be mighty upon the earth, and, you know, Isaac was part of that blessing, and those kind of things, and even though they may have waited a while, his promise still came to pass in their lives. You got it. Hebrews 6 and 13 shows us this. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, what did he do, class? He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. All right. Now, this is God's word. Whose word is it? And how many know his word is always good? So verse 15 says, and so after he had done what? Patiently, he did what? Patiently endure. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. That sometimes things don't happen as quick as we want them to, but by the grace of God, if we stay in faith, we'll see them come to pass in our lives, right? So that's why, how many know when things don't happen the way we want them to, we shouldn't throw temper tantrums as believers? You got it. You ever seen a grown person throw a temper tantrum? Don't answer that question. Just stay focused on me. Don't look at your neighbor to the left and to the right, all right? And so the writer says, after he had patiently endured, it is that is when he obtained the promise, all right? So we must trust that if God said it, he's going to do it, even if it takes time. All right. See, when walking by faith, I've taught you this throughout the years, but if you're willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. But you have to be willing to wait forever. You have to be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier. You have to be willing to go through some stuff. As believers, we have to be willing to take a licking and keep on ticking. We have to be willing to fight through adversity and confess the word of God and stand on his promises even when things are shaky around us. Because remember, even when things are shaky around us, God's word is still good and he's always faithful. And so you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. Amen? And so that was point number one. God's faithfulness is proven through his promises. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Everybody say point number two. Point number two, God is faithful in our hardest moments. God is faithful. Can anybody just testify in the room? Have you ever been through some hard moments and God ever come through? You got it? You know, Can I just help you? Just think about a hard moment, a tough time, where God really, really, really came through. Just based on the fact that he came through back then is enough to have faith that he's always going to come through. Can I take it a little further? It's enough for, watch this, based on what he's done for you in the past, for you to wake up this morning and say, man, I'm going into the house of the Lord. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to worship God. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to walk into church like somebody owes me something. I'm going to walk into church like I owe God a praise. Does that make sense? And we got to be real careful about that, because if you're not careful, it's Sunday and it might be the only day I get to sleep in. And we get all these things because why? We're now in a good place. But sometimes you got to rewind and remember when you were in a not so good place. And if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side, there's no telling where you'd be. I'm preaching better than you shouting amen up in here. So the truth is that God is faithful. And God is faithful in our hardest moments, in our hardest moments. Isaiah 43 and 2 in the Living Bible, it says, I love this, when you go through the deep waters and great trouble, what does he say, class? I will be with you. He says, when you go through rivers of difficulty, what does he tell us, class? You will not drown. He goes on to say, when you walk through the fire of oppression, what's going to happen? You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I just got one question for you. How great is our God? When you begin to think about it, how great is our God. And the thing that I love about the God we serve is we don't serve a God that just wants to be with us in the good times, but we serve a God that says, I'll be with you in the tough times. You got it? And you know, God's faithfulness is not only visible in blessings, but God's faithfulness is also visible in burdens. All right? See, he just doesn't want to be your Sunday God. He wants to be your everyday God. He just doesn't want to be your Sunday God when you come in and you get your faith boost and things are feeling good and woo, God is with me. No, but when Wednesday comes and it seems like all hell is broken loose in your life and this isn't working right and somebody backed up on you and you thought this was going to come through and it didn't come through, he says, I don't just want to be your God on Sunday when you feel good, but when you're going through something on Wednesday, I want you to know I am the same God that's going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. What am I doing? I'm pushing the faithfulness of God. And we have to be thankful for God's faithfulness, that he is faithful in our hardest moments. We have declared that 2025 is our year of momentum, and we have seen God do some amazing things in the lives of the people in this ministry. I mean, God, we have seen miracle after miracle. We have seen increase. We have seen favor. We have seen families restored. We have seen marriages restored. We have seen people get the job of their dreams and get increase. And so we've seen God do amazing things. Now, we've also seen some people go through some difficult times. But even those same people that went through difficult times, it was like as we walked with them through the process of faith, we saw God's hand on them and how even though it was a bad thing that happened, God was working that thing and he was orchestrating something out in their lives. I just talked to a member the other day and I said, you know, I hate that you went through what you went through, but if we'll both be honest, we just saw the miraculous power of God show up in your life. And it just goes to show us that sometimes we're going to go through some things, but thank God we serve a God who's not just going to be there on the good days, but he says, I'm going to be there on the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. What a God we serve. And so we begin to see, you know, just the goodness of God and the grace of God show up, in just all kind of amazing ways. And so what am I saying? You have to trust God no matter what. You got to trust God when you can't trace him. You got to come to church when you don't feel like it. And even when you're here and you still don't feel like it, you got to learn how to lift your hands in spite of. You got, because lifting your hands, watch this, is not based on you, but it's based on him. It's not based on how you feel, but it's based on his goodness in your life. And when you begin to think about all the good, all the amazing things that God has done for you, when you think about how he has opened doors and made ways and healed your body and protected your children and your grandchildren, and like my grandmother said, kept me from danger, seen and unseen, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's no telling where we would be. And so I dare not walk up in here, come on somebody, like I'm the man. You understand what I'm saying? The devil is a lie. God doesn't want anybody to glory in his presence, that when we get here, all flesh has to drop and say, to him be glory and honor and dominion and power both now and forever. Because truth be told, come on somebody, some of us, if God would have not gotten us out of something that we got into, we wouldn't be here today. So if it had not been for his grace, if it had not been for his mercy, if it had not been for his favor, come on somebody, if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side. Look at your neighbor and say, that young man is teaching up in here this morning. He's teaching up in here. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. What am I doing? I'm reminded of the faithfulness of God, all right? You know, did something amazing happen for you this morning? You know, Pastor, yeah. You know, and when I say yeah, you're looking to see, you know, he got some money, and thank God if you got some money. Or he got a new car, and thank God if you got a new car. But let me tell you what happened amazing. He woke me up this morning. Somebody didn't wake up, but he woke me up this morning. Like my grandmother would say, started me on my way. I got the activity of my limbs, and the blood is running warm in my veins. I got something to give God praise for. Oh, my God, my God, my God. That's why the writer said, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, I know too much about him. I've seen him at work in my life, and because I've seen him at work in my life, you can't make me change my mind. Oh my God, y'all sit down, y'all sit down, y'all sit down. My father, Bishop McIver, would say a man, my God. What I want to say, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. So you can argue about, I don't know if your God is real, and you can argue about, but see, I've experienced God for myself. I know he's a good God. I know he's worthy to be praised. And that is where the rubber meets the road. And don't get me wrong, God's a good God, and he the Bible says that he gives his kids good gifts, and I thank God that he blesses us, and we've been seeing a lot of our members get blessed, and I'm excited for that. But sometimes you have to say, even apart from material stuff, man, God is good. Does that make sense? He is good. God, like God has been so good to me. If he doesn't give me anything else, he's given me enough. He's a good God, and I will serve him all the days of my life. And that is the attitude that we have to have. Does that make sense? All right, y'all getting anything out of this on this morning? Okay, all right. So God's faithfulness is not only visible in blessings, but also in burdens. So when we go through things, God is with us. Do y'all remember the story of the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? Do you notice that when you begin to really look at that story and understand the commentary on it, that God didn't keep them out of the fire? Instead, God got in the fire with them. See, I submit to you, there are some times that God will not necessarily bring us out of things, but he will get in it with you, and he will get you through whatever it is, and you'll come out with pure gold. You understand? Like you got to understand, there are some times you're going to have to go through some things, but thank God he's with you. I understand we would rather not go through some things, but thank God he's with us when we do go through some things. So thank God not only for what he brings us out of, but we thank God for what he brings us through. You got it? And see, family, this is what must build our faith. You got it? This is what must build our trust in God and our confidence in God, based on the fact that I know God is faithful. I know God brought me through. You understand what I'm saying? I know God opened the door. I know he made a way. And I know the same God that did all those things is the same God that is with me now. And no, I don't want to go through anything tough. But if something tough arises, I know the same God that brought me through is going to take me through. Does that make sense? That's a good place to give the Lord a hand praise right there. Now, Romans 5 and 1. Let's go there. Romans 5 and 1. I love this scripture. It says, I want y'all to help me with this, okay? It says, therefore, having been justified by So you're justified, and you know, y'all know I'm a teacher by nature, so I got to put my teaching hat back on, because you are justified by faith. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. Come on, somebody. You don't have to try to gain anybody's love or anybody's acceptance. You are who you are. Come on, somebody. Because of the relationship you have with Jesus and the blood that he shed for you, that's what makes you a peculiar person. You got it? That's what makes you an amazing person. You got it? And so the Bible says that I have been justified, or I have been declared right by faith. So I don't owe anybody an explanation, because sometimes people see who you were, not understanding I'm not that person anymore. I'm a brand new creature. You got it? He says, through whom also, so being justified by faith, because I'm justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm justified by faith, which gives me the peace I need, which means I don't have to clap back on social media when somebody comes against me. Which means I don't have to run down every lie when someone lies on me, because like my pastor taught me years ago, if it's a lie, let it lie, right? Yeah, and so I'm justified by faith, and that's what gives me my peace. Let's keep reading. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So there is a grace that comes on my life when I give my life to Jesus. When I get in relationship with God, I am now justified by faith. Are you sure about that? Of course I am. Because it is by faith we have been saved through grace, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm justified by faith. I have peace with God. Watch this. But that also gives me an access, because the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom, giving me direct access for God. So thank God for Pastor and Lady and Pastor Pat and Minister Deb and Elder Mother and all the amazing leaders that can come and pray with you and be there for you. And you should be thankful for that. But if you're ever by yourself and you can't get a hold of anybody, you really don't need Pastor. You just need to say, hey, Jesus, I need to talk to you. Yeah. Does that make sense? All right. So you have, because you have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Watch this. This is where the rubber meets the road in verse 3. And not only that, but we also. Good class. Glory in what? See, there you go, Pastor. You were doing good until you start talking about trouble. I don't want no trouble. Well, nobody wants trouble. But the Bible says that we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces, perseverance, that's patience. That is that ability to handle delay and remain in store and remain in joy. So my joy is not based on where I am, but it's based on me knowing where God is going to take me, that I'm not always going to be in this situation. All right? So he says, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, which is who I really am. And if I don't like who I really am, I need to spend some time with God so he can make me and mold me and shape me into the person I need to be. Because I need to be an integral person. I need to be an honest person. I need to be a humble person. Does that make sense? Because my character is who I really am. Not who you really act like you are, but who you really are. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. All right. And character. Good job. Watch this. I love verse 5. Now, in the KJV, King James Version, it says, hope makes not ashamed. All right? But I found this in the New King James Version. He says, now hope does not do what, class?
Disappoint.
It doesn't disappoint. Hope will never disappoint, because the love of God has been already poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that brings us to Jesus, the Bible says, right? Who was given to us, all right? So hope maketh not ashamed, or hope does not disappoint. Now, let's take that with Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the I don't know if I gave that to you. I might not have, because I was doing a lot. So now faith, so if you don't ever see something, it's not necessarily their fault, because Pastor keeps on studying up until 10 minutes ago, praise the Lord. Now faith is the substance of things. Y'all already know the scripture, right? It is the evidence of things not seen, right? So you've got to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is my expectation. It is my anchor to faith. All right. So it is what causes me to stay grounded and stay in faith, even when the odds are stacked against me. So because as long as I have hope, my faith can't drift away. All right. So even when the odds are against me, as long as I have hope, I'm going to be all right. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to make you lose your hope. And what you've got to do is you got to make up your mind that I'm not going to lose my hope. You got it? Because it's grounded in faith. And so I'm going to stay in faith, and I'm going to keep my hope, and I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. All right? Hope for my future. Yes. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a future and a hope. So hope for my future. Hope for my marriage. That even if it's great, it's going to get greater. Hope for my children. Well, my children aren't doing bad, but they could always do better. Hope that he will never leave me. Hope that he hadn't forgotten about me. Hope for days filled with peace and joy and prosperity and nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. Hope that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, God is with me and God is greater. That God is with me and I cannot fail. So all through the Bible, we see people that had hope. Y'all remember blind Bartimaeus? Yeah. He had hope that even though I can't see him right now, if I can just get his attention in this crowd, I'm going to be made whole. Peter had hope that he could do something he had never done before, walk on water. He tells Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, well, you asked the right one. Come on. And Peter's faith is what caused him to step out on water, and he was walking on water. A lot of times, because everybody likes it, well, you know, he started sinking, you got it, yeah, and he did because he got distracted, which teaches us a lesson that when I'm in faith and I'm on a goal, don't get distracted. Don't worry about the situations that are contrary to the left and to the right. Keep your eye on Jesus. But at least he got out of the boat. At least he was walking on water. And at least he was so close to Jesus. How do you know? The Bible says when he began to sink, Jesus reached out and pulled him right up. Do you not know that when you read that, the Bible says Jesus pulls him up? And it's not till later, Pastor Pat, that they go back to the boat. He pulls him up. Peter is back on water, Noah. He is walking on water again. People don't understand that. Jesus has a conversation with him and says, Peter, what is going on with you? What happened to your faith? And Peter's like, I'm sorry, Jesus, all this wind and that kind of thing. And they say, okay, come on. And they walk back and they get in the boat. A lot of people don't read that, but it's in the Bible. So be careful. Watch this. Be careful. Be careful when you knock somebody when you don't know what they've really accomplished in faith. Oh, that's good right there. That's good right there. That's good right there. Okay. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We got to get out of here. We got to get. Maestro, I'm at point number 3, but we got to play something. I got 12 seconds. Somebody say, if you had time. If I had time, I would take you, which I am going to, point number 3. God's faithfulness deserves our gratitude. It deserves our gratitude. Please don't take this the wrong way, because I'm very careful when I, you know, I don't like to, I'm not a bossy guy, if you really know me. But you really owe God gratitude. We really owe God gratitude, because God's been good to us. And let me just be real honest with you. I'm just gonna look at my iPad and just talk to myself, all right? But I remind myself sometimes when I'm talking to me, I call myself Mac, or sometimes I just call my boy. You got it. I'm trying to get myself straight. You don't have a reason to complain. God is too good. You don't have a reason to walk around with a bad attitude. God is too good. You don't have a reason to say, I ain't going to church today, and man, shucks, forget that. Everybody else is just doing what they want to do. I'm going to do what, but you can't do that, because you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people who have been bought with an incredible price, and God deserves our gratitude. So Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. I love this part, and bless his name. Just sometimes you got to just stop. I do it all through the day, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless you, Jehovah Jireh, because you've always provided for me and my family. I bless you, Jehovah Nisi, because you've always given us the victory. I bless you, Jehovah Shalom, because you are our peace. I bless you, Jehovah Rofika, because you are our healer. I bless your name. See, a thankful heart remembers how God has never failed. And if you woke up today, that's God's faithfulness. If you've ever made it through trouble, that's his faithfulness. So don't let what you're going through make you forget what God has already done and what he's going to continue to do in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are a faithful God. And you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives, and may we never take for granted your goodness and your grace and your mercy. May we never get used to it. I don't want to live a moment in life where I just get used to you and what you've done for me and all the stuff that you brought me out of. And so, Father, we thank you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, I want to make a few simple appeals. I want to make an appeal for church membership. I want to make an appeal for salvation and for rededication. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to, and that is not a competitive statement. But being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And that is God's will for you. The Bible is clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. Lady LaConte and I, we pastor this church together, and we know we have what it takes to teach you the word of faith, to help you overcome every obstacle so you can live an incredible life. And so we want to be your pastors, but the choice is yours. That's up to you. If you feel in the room or online that God is causing you to lean in that direction and he's giving you that unction, then just take that connection card and just fill out the decision that I'm joining WLCC. And then after that, we just need you to join to sign up for Membership 101. That is required to be a member of our church. That's where you come and you learn the vision and the values of and get on the road to knowing God, to finding freedom, to discovering your purpose so you can make an incredible difference in life. And so if you want to do that, the choice is yours. It's up to you. Maybe you're in this room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And let me just break that down. All that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. And that if you're not saved, that you are a sinner and that you need to repent and give your life to Jesus. The Bible says that if you do that, then all things become new. That every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creation. That old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God is not mad at you. God is not upset with you. Don't listen to people who talk like that. It's not true. But the truth is God loves you very much, so much that he set this moment for you to make the decision, man, I need to rededicate my life and I just need to get that fresh start. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online and maybe you just need to pray this prayer because, you know, maybe like me, sometimes you get upset or you get frustrated or say something you shouldn't say or act in a way you shouldn't act. This prayer covers that for us believers as well. So I'm going to ask everyone in the room and online to pray this prayer and to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. And I have nothing to do with you. Now say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand of praise all over the building?